Today's reading is taken from Romans 12, verses 9 to 19. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them right up to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had their too much to drink. But you say the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana in Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed for a few days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Harriet. Thanks, Nicola. Thanks, Ian, for the prayers and the readings there. And good morning from me. I've been up here already. I'm on the fiddle this morning. That's how one vicar used to introduce me to people. There we go. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to read your word, pray, and of course to spend some time thinking about what you are saying to us in your word. Please lead us and guide us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, what have you missed during lockdown, during this last 16 to 18 months? I'm not just going to give you suggestions. I wonder if anyone would like to shout out what you have missed. Church. Other things. Hugs. Singing. Roots groups, yep. Hanging out with people without having to count how many people there are there. We're very good at counting to six, aren't we now? Which is good, I'm a musician, I can just about count to six. That's about my limit though. Which is hilarious considering I've got A-level maths, but that's another story altogether. If you're joining online, I wonder what you would add to those things that people in this building have said this morning. What else would you add? I have to say, the things that I've missed holidays with friends. I've missed cuddling my nieces. I've missed meals with other people, especially during that first lockdown, where for 4.5 months I was in my house on my own. And of course, I miss worshipping with everybody here. I miss the freedom of being able to go and be with others or meet up with someone for a coffee. I wonder how much of what you missed, though, were things. It's interesting, isn't it, when we think about that whole list of the things that we missed. It wasn't about stuff. It wasn't about things. It was people. It wasn't the coffee I missed, possibly a little bit. It wasn't the coffee I missed. It was the people that I would meet up for coffee with. It wasn't the meals I missed. It was the people I would eat those meals with. It wasn't sort of the holidays. It was the people I went on holidays with, although I do like to travel, as some of you know. And of course, the fact is that those things are really important, those the people and things like that. But we do need to remind ourselves, of course, that some people have done some incredible work over this time. Someone like Marcus Rashford, who's in another role at the moment, but during the lockdown, he did amazing work in enabling children across the country to receive meals during the school holidays. We think of those who sorted shopping for those who couldn't get out, who did all sorts of things for others. Some incredible people doing some incredible things, and I include people in this building as well and those joining us online. Thank you to every single one of you. There are things that, of course, are really important, like eating and so on. But I think for many of us, what we miss most of all was being with people. Let's hold on to the fact that there are still many people who need our help, even within our community, and we must never lose sight of that. But, and I say this slightly tentatively, it looks as if we are coming to the end of lockdown and restrictions may be coming to an end. We're not really quite sure at the moment what that might look like. But I wonder what your plans are at this moment as you think about what might happen. Do you have plans? Do you have plans to rejoice? Do you have plans to celebrate? Or are you maybe on the more cautious side, trying not to get ahead of yourself? We probably represent all sorts of different positions, even within this building and those online as well. Of course, I might like to say, do you feel like rejoicing at the moment in general? Or are you tired or are you worn out? I've personally not had a great week, which was topped off by my car being scraped in a car park this week, and I had to contact the insurance company and all of those things. I'm just very grateful that the person who did it left me their number and their registration number as well. And then, after all that had happened, I realised I was preaching on the theme of rejoice this morning. And of course, I know I have much to rejoice, but at times, it feels like I'm doing it through gritted teeth. Although last night's football helped. Maybe that resonates with you this morning. The gritted teeth, not necessarily the football, although, of course, the football does help for some of us. Let's face it, the last year or so has been really hard, and I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. We've lost a lot. We've lost a lot in our individual lives, whether that be the death of a loved one, or our livelihood, or our freedoms, or our financial provision. We've lost a lot in church life. We've lost meeting together, singing, communion as we knew it, and many other things before. Some of you have said some of those already. But somehow we need to hold on to the fact that Jesus is still with us, that he is working in and through us, that we do have things to celebrate and rejoice. So first of all, let's turn to these words from that reading from John. And I might mention water. Splash. Some of us were trying to join in. Well done, those who did. The first thing I want to point out from this reading in John's Gospel is where this wedding is. It's in a place called Cana. Now, this isn't a big, famous place or anything like that. It's nothing special. It's a small town. It's not an important wedding either, just one Jesus and his family have been invited to. And although Jesus has recently started his public ministry, He chooses to go to this wedding rather than anything else. I wonder what that says to us about how Jesus values us. How he values places and people who might not see themselves as significant or famous. I believe it says something positive to us about how God views us. And I believe it says something positive about how he views community as well. So there they were celebrating. They were celebrating a wedding. Now, celebrations for weddings at that point would have gone on for around 7 days. I don't know about you, that is a lot of celebrating. They certainly knew how to party, didn't they? But there's a problem. And Mary comes and tells Jesus the problem, that the wine has run out. Probably not on the penultimate day either, probably somewhere in the middle. They still have quite a long time to go. Now, we might not think much of that. We might have said, well, let's go on to another drink. But in the culture of that time, it brought shame onto the family. They were meant to be hospitable for the whole time. So Jesus takes 6 stone water jars. He asks the servants to fill them with water. And then when the servants serve the water, we know the story, no longer is it water, but wine. Just a reminder that when we look at the number of water jars and how much they take, doing the maths, see, I can do maths, I can assure you, means that Jesus turns the water into the equivalent of roughly between 640 and 960 bottles of wine. That's a lot of wine. I don't know about you, I can't really get my head around what that would look like, but it's a lot. And this miracle not only shows Jesus' glory and a sign of what is to come in the new heaven and a new earth, but something about the overwhelming level of love he has for us, abundant love. And in some ways this is, well, it's a bit of a strange miracle, isn't it? It's not healing someone. It's not feeding people with bread and fish. It's not calming a storm. It's providing drink at a party. Yes, it's a miracle which reminds us that God values community, that he values the celebration of significant events. And I wonder what that might say to us about how God might want to be at work in our community and in the times and places we gather to celebrate as we have the opportunity. That we are valued to him in this small town, in the middle of England, that we are valued even if we feel insignificant. Over this period of time when we've been unable to meet, we've lost out on a lot, and more people across the nation have found themselves isolated and lonely more than ever before. We have a minister for loneliness. That actually was put into place before all of this happened. But let's just remember that. We have a minister for loneliness. That says a huge amount. This time last year, I was nearing the end of about 4.5 months of not even touching another human being. And I know I'm not alone in that. But Jesus is here. He is with us. And he values each one of us, whoever we are and whatever our situation. And I believe we need to show that to one another more than ever. And that reading from Romans gives us some really great advice on how we can do that as we rejoice in who Jesus is. At this time, as things begin to look like they are opening up, we have a challenge as individuals. We have a challenge as church to see what we do next. So I want to bring 3 things out from this Romans reading this morning. And I've got, amazingly, 3 bottles to help us to think about that. So bear with me one moment. I'd like to say I haven't drained these bottles. These have been drained by some of my colleagues. I'm going to throw them under the bus rather than myself. The first thing to say is that Paul in this reading talks about hospitality. So that you can all see, there's an H on that one for the cameras as well. H on there. I might stand in the way of some of them in a moment. In verse 13 of this reading from Romans, Paul says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." I wonder how that fits with us at this moment. Because hospitality is a really good thing to do, isn't it? How might we share with one another as we begin to come out of lockdown? We know, don't we, that there is something special about being invited. It doesn't need to be a big fancy meal either. It can simply be a coffee in the garden. It's a blessing, and we need that, don't we? We need to be blessed, and we need to be a blessing. What if we were all to invite one or two people each week? As I said, it doesn't have to be anything grand. What if we were all to look beyond the people we would usually connect with as well? What if we were to look to those who might be on their own or feel on the edge of things? If you're not sure how to start, what about sending a text or a card to somebody or an email or pick up the phone? But let's be hospitable. It really is needed. I'm going to try and do this too, because if I say something and I don't do it, then there's no point me saying it. I need to do it as well. This is about us all showing that Jesus is with us, celebrating, rejoicing Jesus. And he certainly practiced hospitality, didn't we? As we think about what he did with the wine at that wedding. Hospitality and sharing with those who are in need might not just be about inviting someone around. It could be offering to do some shopping or responding to a request in the news sheet or doing something practical for someone. So how might you do that? Or if you are someone who is in need at this moment, don't be afraid to ask for help. We can't help unless we know there is a need. I know I'm personally really bad at that. When I was at theological college, I did my back in, and I was so stubborn. I did not ask for help until one day a friend of mine, who I'd put on my car insurance while I couldn't drive, met my dad and said to him, "Your daughter's stubborn, isn't she?" I sort of learnt my lesson that day. I still need to learn that lesson a bit more. But let's ask for help. Let's offer hospitality. Share with those in need. Secondly, well, I'm cheating a tiny bit here, because my second point is two. Some of you have already worked out what I'm going to do next. Two, because there are two things in the second point. Romans tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. And I love that verse. It's one I quote quite a lot because it reminds us that whatever we are going through, it is okay to feel as we do. Whatever you are facing, Jesus is with you, and so are God's people. If someone is mourning, let's mourn with them. We did that on Thursday. If someone is rejoicing, let's rejoice with them, even if we're finding it difficult not to think of our own situation. Let's be happy for them. Let's celebrate with them. Ultimately, this is about recognizing that we are in it together. Whatever we are facing, it's about rejoicing who Jesus is and that Jesus is with us. Finally, I think you can guess what this last one will be. It's an O. I'm just throwing it around just to make sure everyone can see. It's an O. And the reason I use an O there is because in this passage from Romans, we're reminded to think of and love one another. Romans puts it like this: be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Because there is a power in that. I read this quote from Mother Teresa the other day. "The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It is not only a poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There is a hunger for love, as there is a hunger for God." It's a brilliant quote. That's actually, when we think about it, it's from Mother Teresa quite a few years ago, but it is still so relevant to us today. If we think back to the wedding at Cana, Jesus showed love in his response to those who would have felt shame at the wedding. So So how might we show love this week? It's amazing how little that can be. Of course, when we love each other, Jesus is right in the midst of it. And when we love one another, others see Jesus. I've got a demonstration for you. When we put in the love, Jesus works with those with who we are and transforms it. Obviously, I'm not actually doing that. Let me just make that clear. What if that were how we live this week with one another? If we put in the love, Jesus can use that love to create wine. We can show love to one another and to those in our communities, being Jesus in those places we are based, so that every single one of us can rejoice in who Jesus is. Chateauneuf-du-Pape. Amen.